welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to New Life. If you don't know me, my name is Brett Hess. I am not the pastor here. That was Pastor Abe. But he did ask me to fill in today and bring a message to you, so I thank him for that opportunity, and I look forward to what God has for us this morning. This is a cool message. It's about it's in this continue message series that Abe has called Dare to Love, and it's talking about serving. And now here are my qualifications to preach today. One, I love Jesus. Two, I like to talk. And three, I like to talk. So I've met all the qualifications for preaching on a Sunday morning, but I appreciate you guys putting up with me today. We're talking about the freedom to serve. You know, we have this really cool opportunity, right? We have freedom. We have freedom as believers in Jesus Christ. And part of that freedom is the freedom to choose to serve. Now, we can choose two ways. We can choose to serve, or we can choose not to serve. And that's what freedom is. It gives us the ability to do that. You see, people who love, who dare to love, embrace the idea that freedom, and that we have the freedom to serve. They embrace this idea of freedom. They grab onto it. They realize, God has given me this gift called freedom that I get to choose this side or that side. And the choices that we make will determine whether we love or not love. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to Galatians 5 today, if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps or whatever it is that you have. Turn to Galatians 5, and Susan, if you could jump into that first slide. I think there's a slide right before that one. Yes, there it is. This is the most important slide we have today. Just had to get that in, sorry. There was a couple Penguins fans here in the first service, so we made sure that we highlighted that for them. And now we'll move on to the actual sermon, which is Daring to Love. Galatians 5. Their love. You can leave that up as long as you want, but we should probably go to the next slide. All right. You see, love is a daring proposition. And we often miss that because we have this kind of misconception and don't understand what God's kind of love is. And so we don't see love as a proposition. We see love as something that happens to us. We're sold a very false narrative by our culture, that love is all about feelings and what we get out of the deal, right? We've lost sight of what love is. We've made it something convenient, something that's comfortable. And most of us have no desire to go out of our way to love and serve others. I want you to think about our popular culture today. There was a commercial on the other day for a television show, which was flawed at like every single level that you could think of. It was taking two complete strangers, putting them in a cabin for 30 days on a beachside, and they were supposed to fall in love and get engaged. I mean, can you name the number of things that are wrong with that scenario, right? I mean, talk about and a love that's based on feelings and emotions. You can't possibly get to know someone long enough to want to spend the rest of your life, and those of us who are married understand what that means, right? The rest of your life with that someone in 30 days. But you can have all kinds of feelings and emotions, and they set the scene, and they're on the beachside, and there's a lot of wine, and anytime you put a lot of wine in front of somebody, all kinds of feelings can come, right? I think we'd all get engaged and get enough wine in us, right? So It's just this flawed concept of what love is. But it's what our culture sells, right? It's how we feel. It's what happens to us. It's what people do for us. Try to determine, somehow determines whether we're loved or not. But what does love in God's kingdom look like? Look at Galatians 5, and I'm going to read a section of the scripture. We're going to read the whole thing later. Verse 13, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out." Farther down in verse 22, it lists the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. And it's important that we catch this. You see, many of us have been taught or heard a lot of sermons on the fruit of the Spirit. And we sort of miss the context of these verses about the fruit of the Spirit. They're based in this idea of serving in love. And we can't remove them from that context. But we often sort of are chasing and pursuing these ideas of the fruits of the Spirit and how we accomplish them. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as we go on. You see, again, the fruit of the Spirit's in the context of serving one another in love, loving our neighbor. We often think that if you do more spiritual things or pursue the spiritual gifts, that you're going to yield fruit, right? But the only way that this actually works is through serving. Now, I can try to bear fruit. I can do a lot of good things to try to bear fruit. I can read a lot of good books. But if I'm not serving, it's not going to work. So what are the effects of serving? And what is serving? Let's start with the understanding of our sinful nature. And I'll guess that many of us don't really understand sinful nature. You see, we were talking about this with some friends last night. We're born with a sinful nature. Most of us, however, would like to believe that we are good, right? How many of you guys would agree? I would like to believe that I am good. I'm a good person, right? I'm just naturally born sweet and kind and wonderful, right? If you have children, you know that this is not true. And one of our discussions last night was that we didn't have to teach our children to be bad, ever. Never had to teach them to be bad, right? We have to teach them to be good, but from day one, they quickly learn how to be bad. What is our first word? It's almost always no, right? We're doing the opposite of what we're supposed to do is no. You know, we think about our sin nature. We were talking about raising children and how hard it is to raise children in the modern day. But then we started thinking about some of the characters in the Bible, and we realized it's been hard to raise children from day one. The first parents ever in the history of the world, Adam and Eve, what do their first two kids do? One kills the other one. That's our sin nature, right? They didn't have any violent video games to show them how to do that. They didn't have any TV shows. They didn't have any movies. There wasn't the effects of bullying in school or emotional trauma. No PTSDs, nothing. They just learned, because it's born into them, how to sin, right? They learned how to hate. They learned how to be jealous, and one killed the other. That's our sin nature. That's who we are by nature. God changes who we are by nature, and that's the good in all of us. You see, there is good in all of us, but it comes through Jesus Christ, not because of who we are. Now, thinking about the sinful nature, even Jesus' disciples argued over who was the greatest, right? Here we are pursuing, trying to be great, pursuing these fruits of the Spirit. We're going to be great. We're going to accomplish these things that Jesus wanted us. And right here in Mark 10, listen to what the disciples do. People, we're talking about the disciples, right? The disciples. These guys knew everything. They walked with Jesus. They had it all figured out. Verse 42 of Mark chapter 10. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Even the disciples had this mindset, that if I can be recognized as the top disciple, it will resolve a question in me, and it will prove that I'm great. It'll prove that Jesus loves me. It'll settle in my soul that I'm okay with God. If I can prove, and I can get Jesus to say that I'm the greatest in this group. I can sort of imagine this discussion right around the table. Who was the better disciple? Who performed better? Who sinned the least, right? I kind of have this like idea of like passive-aggressive Peter, right? He comes in. He's like, "So, John, I had a rough week. Only healed 16 people this week. How'd you do?" You know? Kind of like trying to figure out who was the better disciple, who did the most good things this week. So even the disciples who walked every day with Jesus, they saw being a servant modeled day after day. What? Sin nature, right? We're still trying to do it the wrong way. We're still trying to figure it out our way. So I want to talk about three points. What is this thing called service? What does it do in our lives? How does serving in love affect us? And my first point is this, that serving settles my identity issues. If you think sin is about the law, about following rules or not following rules. If you have then a legalism perspective of sin, and you don't understand our sinful nature. If you think God is keeping some sort of list that we're going to spend the first few days in heaven reviewing, you don't understand sin and you don't understand grace. But I think so many of us have that picture. We get to heaven. We cross through those pearly gates. We get past Peter, right? And then there's that session, right? We sit down with God. He pulls out the list. And he says, you remember that time you hit your brother. But you did that good thing over there, so that can't, they wash out. But then you remember the time that you yelled at your wife. But you did that good thing over there, and that can't. Oh, but then do you remember that time, right? We've got this concept that there's this list building. We've got to offset enough bad things with enough good things, right? We've got to somehow check enough boxes. It doesn't work that way. That's not how God created it. God has grace. And he understands that we're not going to be good enough, but he gives us a recipe to be great enough. And through most of his ministry, Jesus spent his time pointing us away from the law and toward what? Serving. Read the words of Jesus. He often talks about serving. In fact, in the context of love, love and serve are mentioned together many times. In fact, in more cases than not, the words love and serve are connected when Jesus talks about love. Because he understood this, that love doesn't grow by accident. In fact, our ability to grow in Christ hinges on one thing. It has to do with our greatest blessing, which can be our greatest curse. And that's freedom. The freedom to choose to serve. I'm going to read that section we read earlier. I'm going to read all the way through it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through, I think, 23 here. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. I want you to think about these verses in the context of freedom and getting to choose between this choice and that choice. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. And let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, here's the great but, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Freedom. Freedom is not just an American thing. It's a kingdom of God thing. It's not a political thing. It's a gift. And even more, it's a calling. You see, God has called us and invited us, actually, to live in freedom. But what are we free from? We're free from everything that Paul talks about here earlier. We're free from the things of the opposite of love, idolatry, anger, selfish ambition, dissension, etc. And Paul immediately points, though, to the pitfalls of those freedom, right? Be careful. Because if you do the wrong thing with that freedom, you fall into this. But if you understand freedom and the choices you get to make, it leads you away from this and leads us to the fruits of the Spirit. You see, when we have a choice and we have a freedom to choose, we have the freedom to choose to serve others or serve ourselves. Serving ourselves will lead to the first list, and serving others will lead to the second list, the fruits of the Spirit. And we serve each other in love. So what is this principle of serving? This principle of serving is central to love, right? And God has made it free so that I can serve. He's made me free so that I can serve. When I do this, when I use my freedom to serve in love, it changes the game. It changes who we are. It changes how we interact with others. It leads to the fruits of Spirit in my life. Why? Because serving helps me with my identity issues. It helps me identify who I am and what I'm supposed to be in Christ. You see, too many people, even in our church realm, try to prove their worth through accomplishments and titles, right? What is it? What do we have to do? What do I need to accomplish? I call it an orphan's mindset, right? What's an orphan? Nobody loves me. Nobody's taking care of me. Nobody understands who I am. I've got to prove it to somebody. That's an orphan's mindset. We don't realize we're already the sons and daughters of God. And when you know that you are a son of God, you know that there's nothing to prove. I want you to think about your kids. You know, it was a daunting idea for me to be a parent. I remember when Kim got pregnant with Colin. We were talking again about this last night with our friend Matt. The overwhelming idea of, like, holy, you know what? I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to have this child dependent on me. And I don't have a clue what I'm doing. How am I going to teach this kid? But you know the great thing about being a parent is that little Colin was born, and within a day, I remember him just kind of snuggling up on me. I didn't have to teach him that, right? He just knew that I loved him. He just, at least I was a warm body, if nothing else, right? That felt good. I want to be with that guy. He recognized my voice very quickly. It was really cool. You know, I didn't have to teach him to be my kid. He didn't have to earn anything to be my kid. I just loved him. And he just loved me back. But then Allie came along. It was a girl. Oh, gosh, I'm in trouble now. I don't know how to do girls, right? But it worked out perfect. She just loved me the same way. And I just loved her the same way. Why? Because that's what God's created me for, as a dad. That's what God's created her for, as a daughter. You see, when we are the sons and daughters of God and we realize how that relationship works, we understand that there is nothing that we have to prove. Allie didn't have to do anything great for me to go, oh, thank goodness, now you've done enough good things, I can love you. Right? I loved her from the moment she was there. It's awesome. That's the love of Jesus. You see, all these sins that are mentioned in Galatians 5, they're evidence of unsettled identity issues. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. Because I don't know who I am, and so I'm trying to find it, right? And so I'm chasing after these things to find something that tells me I'm good enough, I'm loved enough, I'm qualified enough, I'm happy enough, right? And you understand this, more information is never going to settle your identity issues. You can read a lot of books about who you are. It's not going to solve who you are. More success isn't going to help you identify who you are. More degrees won't help you identify who you are. More money won't. None of these things. None of these things are going to make you secure in who you are. What makes you secure in who you are is understanding that God loves you because you're his son and his daughter, and it's that simple. Because he loves us. When we freely choose to serve, our heart becomes secure in his love. We are fulfilling what we're called to be, and therefore we grow in love. What is this? This identity. Who am I? What am I called to be? Have I reached my calling? Have I reached the mark? Am I good enough? I remember struggling with this idea of my calling in Christ. Maybe I'm supposed to be a pastor. I'm pretty good at talking a lot, right? I remember just thinking, man, I'm not where God wants me to be. Here I am, I'm an accountant, I'm running an accounting firm, and I'm crunching numbers, and I don't know. It wasn't until I realized that God's called me to love and serve others. And I can do that whether I'm sitting in an accounting office or standing up front on a Sunday morning. And it settled in my heart that I am being what God's called me to be. And each of you are being what God's, you're being what God's called you to be if you are loving and serving others. It's that simple. He requires very little else of us but to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love and serve. It's a pretty simple concept. Number two, serving aligns me with Christ. Verse 16 says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." It's a pretty simple concept. Rather than trying harder not to sin, just serve. And you'll get on track with Christ. So often we try so hard and nothing changes. How many of you guys have been there before, right? You've got that area in your life, that sin in your life, that area of weakness, and you just keep trying harder and harder not to keep doing that thing. And every time you turn around, you keep doing it, right? Paul talked about that. The things I don't want to do, I keep doing. The things I do want to do, I can't do. Right? We all can relate to that. And you see, our eyes are on the wrong things. If you ever listen to a race car driver, let's talk to a NASCAR driver about how they slip through those tiny little spaces, right? They're doing 200 miles around a track. I can tell you right now, if I'm doing 200 miles on anything, I'm hitting something, right? I can tell you that is going to happen. 200 miles an hour, flying around this track, and they are like inches from cars. And then you see that scenario where they got these two cars, and there's that little space, and there's about an inch on each side for this car to get through, and that guy nails it, zips right through, moves forward, passes the other cars. Ask them how they do that, and they will all tell you the same thing. If they focus on what they're trying to avoid, they will hit it every time. But if they focus on what they're trying to get to, they'll make it through. Interviews with NASCAR drivers, interviews with Formula One drivers, same story. Focus on where you're headed to, not on what you're trying to avoid. If you try, focus on what you're trying to avoid, you will hit it. You see, if I'm focused on my sin and trying not to sin, guess what I will keep doing? Sinning. If I'm trying to be good enough to meet some level of expectation that I think that God has for me, I will continue to wallow around in my sin. But if I stop all of that, and I understand that it is my calling to serve others in love, guess what? I'm going to hit my mark. When I serve others in love, the byproduct is holiness. Rather than trying to be holy, just serve. Just serve others in love, and you'll get there. Instead of identifying yourself by your lack of holiness, identify yourself by your calling to serve in love. I go back to my parent application. I was scared to death to be a parent. That didn't settle. Matt and I were talking about last night, and he's more of a worrier than I am. I think he was scared to death. I was like, I got this, until that baby popped out. And then I was like, I'm so screwed. You know, it was like the weight of the world of like, what do I do as a parent to do this right and not mess my kids up for the rest of eternity started to weigh on me. And as they got older, it weighed on me more and more. How do I do this thing called parenting? And you know what I figured out? God's called me to do a simple thing, to serve my kids and love them. Find out what their needs are and love them. He'll take care of the rest. That doesn't mean they're perfect, and that doesn't mean I am anywhere close to the perfect parent. Well, I'm pretty close, but I only said that because my kids are sitting. No. The reality is I'm not a perfect parent. I've messed it up a lot of times. But what I can rest in and what keeps me from living in fear, and trust me, if you are raising teenagers, you are living in fear every day. There are nights when we go to bed and we cry out, "Dear Jesus, why did you invent teenagers?" But you know what? I love teenagers. I love being a dad. I love and I get to love being a dad because I know what God's called me to do is to love them and serve them, and that's it. Now, part of serving them is doing a number of different things, but if that's my focus, if I stop worrying about, do they ever do anything wrong? Because if I'm judging myself on whether my kids do something wrong, guess what? I didn't have to teach them to do things wrong. They figured it out all on their own, right? That's their sin nature. That's not me. That's not my problem. My problem is I'm too worried about living up to some list that I'm never going to accomplish. And when I stop and I am what God's called me to be a servant of others, to serve in love, I will find out that I'm aligned with Christ, that I'm where I need to be, whether it's as a dad, whether it's as a husband, whether it's in my job, in my community. That's the question I ask myself now. Am I serving others all the time? Number three, serving produces good fruit in my life. Again, realize that the fruits of the Spirit were given in the context of service. If you're not actively serving in love, the fruits of the Holy Spirit aren't and won't and don't grow in your life. Think about the fruits of the Spirit. The first one listed is what? Love. We start with love. We love and we serve. But you know what? We often sort of want a fast track, right? We want a fast track in our lives. We kind of have this lottery mindset, right? I'm going to buy me a ticket. I got me my ticket. Now I'm going to win. And we kind of do that with God. God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do some good things. And you're going to take care of my problems, right? Everything's going to work out. I'm going to be lined up with you. My life's going to be good. Right? It doesn't work that way. God says, stop. Stop trying so hard. Just serve. Just serve others in love. Love your neighbors as yourself. We see it requires more than the lottery method, right? It requires choosing to build a life that's committed to serving in love. It's a long-term commitment. It's a lifelong commitment. And it isn't always popular. It's not easy. There's not a lot of self-help books called Serving in Love for Eternity. Because no one would buy it, right? I don't want that book. I want the book that says 10 Great Ways to Be a Whatever. You know? I've decided one day I'm just going to write a book called 10 Great Ways to Do Something. I'm going to put nothing in it, and I guarantee you I'm going to sell a million copies, right? Because we all want 10 easy steps to whatever our problem is. But that's not what Jesus did. You see, the gospel, the core of the gospel and who Jesus was a servant. The very reason he came to earth, the very thing that he did for us when he came to earth, was the ultimate act of service. He found out what it is that we needed, and he gave it to us, his life. He laid it down for us. It's why Paul calls him the suffering servant. Paul refers to Jesus, the suffering servant. He suffered everything for us because he knew that's what we needed. And he served his disciples and he served his community with a heart of love that is unmatched. We all want, we all need love in our lives. We want it to grow in our lives. I want you to think about love in a couple of contexts here. And I think about love in context of marriage. When I met my wife and fell in love with my wife, I would do anything to tell her I would love her. I went out of my way to serve her. I remember one day leaving work. Now, this was tough because I worked for my dad, so I had to lie to him. And I had to pretend I was doing something else. And I ran to the flower store, and I bought a rose, and I ran out. She was at FCC going to college. I found her car in the parking lot. I had no idea where it was, but I wasted 20 minutes driving around until I could find it. And I stuck a rose under her windshield wipers. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't easy. I had to lie to my boss. I'm not suggesting you lie to your bosses, but I'm just saying. But the point is that I wanted to serve her. I wasn't worried about what I was going to get in return. I wasn't worried about how much she had shown me love that week. I wasn't worried about how I felt in relationship to our context and how many affirming words she had given me in the last 30 days. What I cared about was I wanted her to know that I loved her. I wanted her to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I would do anything. I would go to the ends of the world to tell her I loved her. I want you to think about that in the parent context of parenting. My kids didn't have to do anything to prove that they loved me. I just knew they did. They were born that way. I got to hold them in my arms. I got to snuggle up with them. And I would do anything for them. Anything. I would serve them if it took my life. And I've told each of them that. I do whatever it takes. You know, I love when my two-year-old little Casey snuggles up in my arms. She rests on my belly, which is helps to have a belly because then she can actually sit on it, right? And she just snuggles up there, and I hold her tight. She gives me a big squeeze, right? I wish Colin, my 18-year-old, would do that, but he's looking at me like, dude, that is never going to happen, right? But you know what? That's what love is. Love is the ability to serve regardless of how it feels. You know, I love Colin as much as I love Casey. Does Colin come home every day when I get home from work and run up and go, Daddy, and jump into my arms? No, and if he did, it'd be a little weird, actually. Does Jake do that? No, Jake doesn't do it either. Micah, have you done that lately? No, Micah doesn't do it. Now, Allie, you might do it, right? But I love each of them the same. It doesn't matter how much love they return to me. I just want to be there for them. I want to serve them. And that's what Jesus called us to be. What does this service thing look like? You know, those two examples, maybe they make sense to you. But how does it look beyond that? How about taking the role that no one wants to take? Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's that job that nobody wants to do. You know, talk about showing love to somebody. How about you do that job? Maybe even harder. How about you love that somebody that no one can love? And how do you do that? You see, we all know those people, right? We either work with them or we went to school with them. Maybe we live with them. You know, that person is just hard to love. And you're looking at me going, Brett, you don't understand. They don't want to be loved. Have you met them? I have, actually, a couple times. You want to know how to love them? Find out what it is that they need and serve them. Now, they may not turn around and give you a big hug when you're done. In fact, I'm going to venture to say they probably won't. But do it again. Find out what else they need and serve them. You see, it's hard to love because we have this flawed concept of love. I'm not going to go hug them, Brett. It's not going to happen, right? They don't want to hug. They probably punch you in the face. But they would love to be served. They would love if you helped them fix that problem they haven't been able to figure out at work or at school. How about we get our hands a little dirty? How about we do some things that are uncomfortable for us? Maybe it's with our spouse. Maybe we haven't lied to our boss lately to get out of work so we go buy flowers and inconvenience ourselves when we don't have enough time. We can't get all our work done, but we still need to do it anyway. Guilty as charged. Somehow I found time when I was dating her. But now, honey, I'm so busy. I can't get everything done. She laughs at me now. I come home every day, I can't get everything. She's like, you've never gotten everything done, right? So that excuse doesn't work, right? I simply need to make time. I need to say, what does my wife want? What does she need? And I need to serve her. And that will tell her that I love her. Maybe it's surrendering my rightness in the marriage conversation. Now, in my house, I'm always right. But in most of your situations, that's not the case. I'm just kidding, honey. I'm not always right, I promise. She actually knows that. She's usually right. That's the problem. The reality is this. None of us are always right. And sometimes, even when we're right, we're not the only one that's right. Sometimes we're both right. And what a servant does is says, you know what, if I love you, I just need to find out what you need. And I want to serve you in that. And that's not easy to do sometimes. But it's what's necessary. It's what God's called us to do. And I can tell you right now that if you start doing that, if you start finding out what it is that the people around you want and need, and you begin to look at them as Jesus looked at them and said, how can I serve you today that you will find love? And more importantly, not only will they feel loved, but you will feel loved, and you will be fulfilled. You see, this is what God's called us to. He's called us to love. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Right? And if we do that, if we step out of our comfort zone sometimes, we look at the people around us and we say, can I look at you like Jesus looks at you? Can I see your heart? Can I see through that crusty exterior that's a little uncomfortable? Can I see through the fact that you just yelled at me yesterday and it hurt my feelings? Right? But I can see your heart and I can see inside of it there's somebody that's crying out that needs something, and I can love you in spite of all those circumstances. I can tell you right now, you will be fulfilled. You'll be doing what Jesus called you to do. You'll be loving and serving with love. I ask you to bow your heads together. I'd like to close this out in prayer, and I would challenge you with this. That if you're sitting here today and you say, you know what, and you're not saying it to me, you're saying it to God. God, there is an area in my life, there's a person in my life, there's a situation in my life that I don't feel fulfilled in. I don't feel love. I don't feel love coming back. I don't even feel love going out. I would challenge you today to recognize that before God and ask Him to help you to see that situation as He would. To look for opportunities to serve. Because when we serve, we love. So I ask you to bow your heads with every eye closed. If that's you this morning and you say, yeah, that's me. I know that area. Maybe I know multiple areas in my life that I need a fresh start. Maybe it's in my marriage. Maybe it's with my kids. Maybe it's at work, school, wherever it is. I want the people around me to see the love of Jesus. If that's you, I just ask you to slip your hand up real quick and we're just going to pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for all these hands that are raised around this place today. I thank you that you're a God that loves unconditionally. And Lord, that you gave us this beautiful template for how we can be fulfilled in you. How we can bear the fruits of the Spirit. How we can be the sons and daughters that you called us to be. And it's so simple, Jesus. We just get to love and serve. And we can do that. That's a thing I can wrap my head around, Jesus. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for every person that raised a hand in here today, that you would encourage them in their spirit to love. Love beyond their comfort zone. To serve others, Lord Jesus. To look for opportunities to be selfless. To serve those around them, not looking for something in return, Lord. We wake up each day and we say this simple prayer, how can I bless my wife, my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, my coworker, maybe even my enemy today? Lord Jesus, I pray for all of us that we would see this world through your eyes. We would see these opportunities that feel helpless as opportunities to be helpful, serve and to love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.